This is Maggie from the Positude Shows, the Positude Podcast, Positude Prophecy, Positude Passages, and tonight's show, Positude Powwow. Thanks for joining in. Tonight was kind of an impromptu session. I had scheduled to do a Positude Prophecy show. I've been trying to rotate my three new shows in between the first and third Sundays of the month when I do the Positude Podcast. But in light of some recent events, I thought that it was important to do this show instead. So what we're going to focus on tonight is I've been networking for several weeks now with people who are in Texas. I have several friends in Texas. And as a result of my work, I've had the pleasure of meeting several Facebook friends who also reside in Texas, who are working very diligently to help the relief efforts, to help people in need that are in areas afflicted. Texas together as a state is pulling together and helping each other in ways that are not only extraordinary to me, but I'm very thankful. And it really restores my faith in humanity once again to see the citizens there gathering together and helping each other in a very distressing time. And in light of the potential path of Hurricane Irma, I also have friends in virtually every state that is potentially to be afflicted by that storm. And so as a result, I've been networking, I've been gathering resources, I've been trying to find different organizations that are reputable in character and are longstanding organizations that can help the people that are in need, for people to be able to send their donations, whether it be money or dry goods, personal hygiene products, clothing, blankets, things like that. And as a result, it's come to my attention. Some of the information was directed to me via personal message for me to check out, and some other stories I came on to by my own of the Red Cross and some of the efforts there, some of the Red Cross's behaviors, let's say, that people have been claiming have been going on inside of that organization. Donations that are being given to the Red Cross, money that is being given to the Red Cross, according to these people that have shared either live video or posts on Facebook, attest to the fact that the money and the goods are not being given out to the public, at least not in ways that we would anticipate. So in light of that, I thought that it was important to talk about that too and to share some of the information that I found. And in regards to the two stories particularly that I'm going to share with you, I do not have explicit rights from the people who have made the videos and made the posts on Facebook, even though they've made them public. And in both cases, they've gone viral. Since I do not have their explicit consent, I won't be sharing their names, at least in this broadcast. However, I was able to come in direct contact with one of the people of the two stories that I'm about to share with you, and she has agreed to speak with me on a personal level regarding some of the things that she's witnessed. And if she chooses not to have her name shown or told, I have to respect that. But in light of the fact that these were public Facebook posts and have gone viral, it would be very easy for people to be able to research, I'm sure, and find these people's names on Facebook walls and on Facebook YouTube videos, things like that. But out of respect for them, again, I'm not going to announce their names. The lady that I've talked to directly, when we do our communications together, if she chooses at that time to allow me to use her name or her likeness, then that will be an option. But for now, I'd like to at least get the information out to you and share with you what these people have shared with the general public in regards to the Red Cross. And as a result of that, because of my desire to help people, I've done a lot of research, and I found, again, many reputable organizations, and I will share their information with you so that if you want to donate, if you're able to donate at all to these people, you'd be able to do so to a facility or an organization that is reputable, that you can be assured that your money, that your donations are going to be used to help the people, directly to help the people. And in some of the cases of the names that I have for you, they're actually tax deductible organizations as well. So you'll be able to write those off on your taxes. The natural disasters in our country most recently have been just unprecedented. And I don't want anybody to think that I'm ignoring the victims of the forest fires and the earthquakes and the other casualties that have struck us, not only nationwide, but globally. And I want you to know that my thoughts and prayers go out to everybody that is afflicted by any type of devastation, whether it be natural disaster or just a personal issue. And so know that I'm not ignoring anybody. These are resources that I've found to help people in the path of these hurricanes and that have been afflicted by the hurricanes. So I'll share these for now. And in future episodes, I hope to be able to share other relief sites for other people that have been afflicted. So starting off with my first story, this was from a lady that is boots on the ground in Texas, and she did a Facebook video that has gone viral. And I'm not making any sort of accusations here, but I tried sharing the video to my wall at least 5 times on my computer, and it wouldn't show up. It was showing up on my Facebook mobile app, and some people were able to access it that way. So if you are able, go to my Facebook and check out the stories. You'll be able to see them there. It's my understanding that they're still showing up, at least on a mobile app. So you may be able to access them that way. But this is about a young lady from Texas who is working very hard to help her community and Harvey victims. And her video, she states in her video that Facebook has been monitoring her posts and taking down her videos. So you may be able to access it, you may not, but this is her story. She tells a story of children who, families who in the middle of the night were evacuating their homes, and the babies were sleeping and were taken out of their beds, and they had nothing but a diaper on. And the parents had to wade through, you know, chest high water to be able to get their families to safety. And of course, in the process, the children's diapers became saturated and had to be removed, at which point the children were naked. They had no diapers. They had nothing to wear. They had no formula, no bottles. They simply were fleeing for their safety. She tells about people who in her area and areas that she's been trying to help can't afford sleeping bags, most of them, so they're sleeping virtually unprotected by the elements, not able to afford sleeping bags or tents. She says that she's working with a gentleman from the Louisiana Cajun Navy and APO Off-Road. She had been working with him the first week to do search and rescue, and now they're focusing on food and shelter efforts. And that this gentleman told her that the Red Cross came to churches where they were delivering tractor trailer loads of boxes of donations given by American citizens, bottles, diapers, formula, binkies, blankets, food, clothing for the adults. All of these things that were donated by the American people were boxed up and sent to this organization. And as a result, they had put them on tractor trailer loads and were distributing them to local churches in Houston. The boxes were being stacked at the doors of the churches, and these people have literally nothing. They're barefoot, some of them are shirtless, but these volunteers are working to take these boxes into the churches so that they can organize them to be able to distribute to the people in the community that need them. As the people were working to get these boxes inside the churches and put away, the Red Cross pulled up And under Executive Order EO-13603, which was signed into effect by former President Barack Obama on March 16, 2012, the Red Cross actually threatened the pastors, reverends, and the volunteers and told them that under that executive order, they had the right to take these possessions and do with them as they saw fit. So as the people were unloading the boxes of things into the churches, the Red Cross pulled up and took everything. They took the boxes away from these churches, from the people who were wanting to distribute them to people in their communities in need. And they brought them back to their area. According to the gentleman, the donations of formula bottles, water, clothes, diapers, etc., were sorted through. And that which could not be resold was thrown into 6 blue and green dumpsters. The bottled water was saved and was sold to the public for $1.25 a bottle. So in essence, these bottles of water that were supposed to be given to the American people, to the people in Houston that were afflicted, were being sold for $1.25 a bottle. These people had nothing. She also goes on to state that the stuff that couldn't be resold were put into dumpsters and were burned. The contents were burned. And she claims to have pictures that she's going to be uploading. And she cautions Florida and tells the residents there that Texas will help them to throw out the Red Cross. She asked for victims in Houston to not support the Red Cross, essentially, to throw them out. So that was her story that she had shared. And in my research, I've discovered that for every $10 donated to the Red Cross, approximately 90 cents goes to the people. So in my opinion, that's not a viable option to be able to donate to. Know that from the stories that people are sharing, your money is not going to the people that really need it. And in fact, it seems to be grossly being misused. And that's a very sad thing for me to have to share with everybody. It's very disheartening. And I'd like to say that I could believe that these stories weren't true, but because these people have made their stories public and shared them and they've gone viral, I would have to think that they're telling the truth. There's another lady that actually is a Red Cross volunteer who shared her story, who starts off her post on Facebook by saying that she's not made a political post or what could be a divisive opinion on social media, and that she doesn't want to get involved in any debates over Facebook, but that she felt the need to come forward and share some of the things that she had seen as a volunteer of the Red Cross. The lady apparently is wheelchair bound, and she says that the American Red Cross should be ashamed of what's going on with our displaced neighbors sheltered in Houston at the GRB Convention Center. She goes on to state that her husband and she, along with several others from her building directly across the street from the GRB, were the first people to welcome those that evacuated when the doors opened at the GRB. She says she's been working there over every day between 12 and 16 hours to help people get what they need. Her area of focus was women and children. She says, Red Cross, please help me to understand why there are moms in the shelter who need blankets. There are plenty of blankets with your logo on them up on the third floor. The people that need them are on the first floor. There is no logistics of an inventory system, a way to locate supplies, a way to get them down to the first floor, or a way to distribute them. Someone desperately needs a wheelchair but is told there aren't any. Really? There are plenty on the third floor. She says she has babies with no formula. Why? Because no one at the Red Cross thought to order the kind of formula that WIC requires for them to be on. She says she goes and starts sounding the alarm that we need one certain kind of formula for 90% of the babies, but nobody wants to listen. She says that we have some of the correct kind up on the third floor, but lady, you can't take that. The Red Cross wants to hand it out. Are you kidding me? She says. Well, when and where? Do I tell a two-month-old that he needs to wait until a certain day? Not just baby formula. It's this way with every supply these people need just to survive in the shelter. They have Red Cross volunteers over the large convention halls where people have their cots set up. Whole families have made little camps together. They're doing their best to make it work. A mother with four small children was called to the media area to do an interview with a national network. Came back, all of her few worldly possessions that she had gathered in the past week at the shelter was stolen. Why? Because the Red Cross volunteer let this woman down by not keeping an eye on the area that was assigned. I know of a family that had just registered into the shelter with children go to the food distribution area. They asked a regular volunteer if they could have something to eat because they hadn't eaten for over 24 hours. The regular volunteer went to grab them food off of a table in full view of these children. A Red Cross representative said, no, you can't give them anything. It's not mealtime. The regular volunteer couldn't believe his ears. He had to turn away hungry kids. Unbelievable. A 9-month pregnant mom in labor with three other young children under the age of 6 had to go to the hospital to deliver. No family or friends, father or husband, was in the shelter. The ambulance would not let her take her kids with her. This lady went to the Red Cross desk and explained the problem. She said that she wanted to be granted emergency disaster guardianship over her kids. She was told, oh no, we can't allow that. We could get sued. When she rolled away in her wheelchair, she said very loudly, just watch me do it. There was no other choice. So she took the kids, and within 4 to 6 hours, they were with a relative. What did the RC expect? To throw them outside in the rain? They had no alternative. She states that she's a volunteer and knows more about how to fill the needs than any Red Cross person there. She doesn't understand why it is this way. She claims that these are just a few of her stories. Her frustration is at an all-time high. It's not with the people she's been helping. It's with the organization that's standing in the way of that help. And she pleads to please, when you're donating to relief, think about this. There are so many organizations that are doing a wonderful job of serving others. And she directly addresses the Red Cross and says, please learn some valuable lessons from Harvey. Our nation that donates every dollar you use for relief deserves better. So those are just two of the stories that I found that I wanted to share with you of people that are in the communities in Houston that are attempting to help others and some of the roadblocks that they faced in relation to the Red Cross. So as a result, as I said, I have been doing some research, and I came up with some reputable organizations given to me by citizens of the communities or very near to the communities afflicted, in which they can stand by these organizations and verify to their credibility. The first one that I'd like to share with you is sparkworldwide.org. And their website is http://www.sparkworldwide.org. And not only are they doing efforts in Houston, but they are a worldwide organization. So any area that is to be afflicted, you would be able to send your donations there. And in this particular instance, it was brought to me by a Facebook friend that I'm very pleased to have the acquaintance of having met through Facebook, who works in public service in communities in Houston. He does air flight rescues, and it's my understanding he's an EMT. And he has a fellow fireman whose name is Jamie Cassion, who actually set up a birthday donation site in his name, or people who are friends of him, his rather, set up a donation site in his name in honor of his 50th birthday. And Jamie is involved directly in boots on the ground relief for the people in Houston. He's been put out to service for the past almost 2 weeks now, and just got word that he may be out for a month. And if you go to http://www.sparkworldwide.org, on their page, there's a picture of a birthday cake. And if you click that birthday cake, it's an event for Jamie's birthday, but you don't have to be present, okay? You can click on a donation of $20, $40 or more, and that money will directly go to support relief efforts for the people that have been afflicted in Texas. So that is one very reputable organization and one way that you can donate directly to the people in Texas. Another is Kiani, and the website is https://shop.kiani.net/kiani-potato. So if you just bring that up on your website, it'll come up for you. And there's a code that you can enter. And if you donate 10 potato packs, which are, to my understanding, like the military MREs, if you donate 10 packs up until, they just extended it up until the 31st, they will match and send 10 packs. So for every 10 packs you purchase, they will send an additional 10 packs to the victims of Hurricane Harvey. And as of last count, the gentleman shared with me, they had sent something like over 200,000 potato packs to people in need. So that is also a very reputable and viable option for you to be able to get food out to people that really need it. There are children that are going hungry. There are people that haven't eaten in a couple of days. As much as we can do to help these people is so greatly appreciated. So that's another organization. Feed Our Vets is one that I've dealt with locally here, regionally. I've done donations to them, and I've gotten very positive feedback in regards to their efforts. And they are trying to reach a goal for the victims of Texas, for veterans specifically. They want to reach a goal of $50,000 to touch approximately 650 families. It's their estimation that approximately 356,195 vets have been affected by Harvey. And if you go to their site, you can do a donation for a gift card. And what they do is they give $40 to single vets, a gift card, a grocery card, or $75 to families of vets. And they can be reached by https://securedonationpay.org/feedourvets/texas.php. So that is another reputable organization that I myself have dealt with personally. The thing that I find interesting with that particular organization is there are a lot of bikers who are also involved. And that's actually how I became aware of their organization, through a biker friend that worked with them, and they've had very, very good results, very reputable company, and been able to help a lot of people. There's also a Facebook page if you're interested, Hurricane Harvey 2017. Together we will make it. Together we will rebuild. And on that Facebook page, there are not only calls for help, posts from people of things that they need, but also offers of help. The one thing that I found extremely touching about that site was that there were people on there that had home and spaces in their homes. Some of them actually will tell you if they have wheelchair accessible ramps to their homes. And they're willing to take in victims that are still suffering and that are afflicted from Hurricane Harvey. So if you have internet access, please take a look at that site. And they not only call for help and specifically what they need, but there are many offers on there of people that are wanting to help their neighbors and that are offering their private personal space for people who need it. And that was just amazing to me as well. There's one site that I clicked on that Facebook wall that's looking to help Texas ranchers who are struggling for grain and for feed for the animals on their ranches, also human supplies, food and water, veterinary supplies, medical supplies for their animals. And there's a person that you can contact there. His name is Lance at 936-414-0476. He's in Lufkin. And there's also a division of that that's helping or looking for help to transport large animals to safety from these ranches. And that person's name is Adam at 409-651-1032. And he's in Buna, B-U-N-A, Texas. So those gentlemen are helping the ranchers that have been afflicted, helping to save the livestock, helping to transport the livestock so that as the flood levels recede, hopefully these ranchers will be able to sustain themselves and their families and in turn be able to have their beef and have their farm products saved so that they can help others in Texas so that they continue their farming industry. There's a post, the lady that I, the second story that I shared, she started an organization through Restoration Church, https://restorationchurch.com/form/4A2D51. And she has started an organization that is helping young children. So if you'd like to donate to her, please do. And then personally speaking, my friends in Texas have given me the names of a couple of churches that they've attended that they would very, very much appreciate donations be sent to. One of them is the Highlands United Methodist Church in Highlands, Texas. And then there's St. Thomas More, M-O-R-E, and St. Albert the Great, both in the Austin area. And my friends there say that all of those churches would be very happy to accept any donations or any supplies that you can send them to help the residents in the nearby afflicted areas. Going forward, there was also just touching on the Red Cross issue again. There is a petition that has come to my attention. It was given to me by a friend that is asking for the removal of Red Cross as responders attached to or in conjunction with FEMA to disaster sites. So if you'd like to sign that petition, which was created on September 3rd, you can go to https://petitions.whitehouse.gov/.removal-American-Red Cross. If you just Google it, I'm sure that it will come up for you. So if you'd like to be a part of the petition to stop the Red Cross from being able to come into these areas, I'm not sure how effective that will be, but feel free to go in and sign that petition if you feel the need. Also, in light of Hurricane Irma, having many friends in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, areas that will be afflicted. Because this was a short notice and kind of a last minute thing, I was able to get some addresses of people and organizations that you can send to in some of those areas. I will be forthcoming on my Facebook wall and in future broadcasts for specific areas in Florida. However, in light of the storms there, every friend that I've contacted in the Florida area has not been able to get back to me as of yet. They've either unfortunately lost power or were unable to communicate with me as of right now. However, I'm hoping actually by the end of recording that some of them will be able to text me some information. However, there is one that I'm very, very proud to be able to share with you. I've heard many good things about it, and this is a tax-deductible organization, and it is an organization in which you can designate the state and what disaster relief fund you'd like to contribute to. So this would apply to those who are afflicted in Florida, and the name of the organization is called Samaritan's Purse, and their address is P.O. Box 3000 in Boone, North Carolina, 28607. Their number is 828-262-1980. Again, that's 828-262-1980. So for Samaritan's Purse, they will be able to reach any area that has been and will be afflicted. And again, you can designate the state and what disaster relief fund you'd like to contribute to, and that is tax deductible. So that would be applicable to Texas, to Georgia, to Florida, North Carolina, Tennessee, Alabama, and any of the areas that were hit and are potentially going to be hit by Irma. A friend in Georgia shared with me His Hands Church out of Woodstock, Georgia. He says that's a very reputable church, and they would be able to accept any donations and also make sure that they get them into the hands of people directly that need them. In Tennessee, my friends in Tennessee have given me the name of Episcopal Relief and Development, and that is also another organization in which you can request where you want your funds or your donations sent to, so that you can pick the areas afflicted in which you'd like for your stuff to be sent to. Their address is P.O. Box 7058, Merrifield, that's Merrifield, Virginia, 22116-7058. In North Carolina, there's a Wesleyan Church in North Kannapolis that you can look up. I'm sure that they would be happy to accept any donations that you would like to send to that area. So those last two, Samaritan's Purse and the Episcopal Relief, also one of the ones that I shared with you earlier, Spark Worldwide, those all will be able to direct your donations to people that really need it. And you can pick the areas again. So those may be helpful to you. In regards to the stories that I've been seeing, as all of you know, I'm a huge animal lover. I have way too many dogs, and I love them all. I've seen posts where Texas, unfortunately, you know, there were animals that were chained to things like cars and telephone poles, trees left out in the elements. When Harvey hit Texas, and the relief efforts of the Louisiana Cajun Navy, and just general local guys, you know, rednecks with bass boats, you know, I hate to say it that way, but, you know, just guys that own fishing boats were out there doing relief efforts. And I applaud all of them for all of their rescue efforts, for saving these poor animals that were left out in the elements in the storm, that were abandoned by their families. You know, I just, it's very upsetting to me to hear stories like that. And right now in Florida, as of a story that was posted on September 9th, just in the Palm Beach County area, more than 50 animals were found tethered to cars and trees. And that county claims that if anybody is caught chaining out their animals or leaving their animals out in the elements, they will be prosecuted for animal cruelty. And the people there that are working on the relief efforts state that once the winds reach a sustained mile per hour of 35, no officers will be permitted to rescue the animals that are left out there. But they have rescued, as of the date of that post, more than 50 animals, mostly dogs and some cats. So please do a search. There are pet-friendly shelters that are listed in Florida. I've posted them on my personal Facebook, my Maggie Hart Facebook. Animals are your family. I know that it's a desperate time. I know that everybody's very upset about what's about to happen or what's anticipated to happen in your area. But please, please, if for some reason you're not able to take your pet with you, and to be honest with you, I couldn't imagine leaving my pets behind in a natural disaster. My pets are like my children. They go wherever I go, and there is absolutely no way that I would abandon my animals and leave them were I to leave town, were I to have to take off. They would come with me. And so I have seen many stories of people that have had difficulty because they have brought their animals with them. And there was one story in particular that I read about where the hotel initially refused to allow a family's two dogs to come inside with them. So the dogs had to stay in the car in the parking lot for the hurricane in Houston. However, the hotel actually recanted and allowed them a couple of days later to be able to take the pets inside. But I truly can't imagine leaving my animals behind. It's not something that's conceivable to me. But if you are desperate, if you find that you're, you know, in an immediate rush and you need to get out of the area, if for some reason, and again, I can't anticipate this, I can't even imagine, but if for some reason you choose to leave your pet behind, the least that you can do is get that animal inside, take it into your residence, and make sure that there's plenty of food and water. And I don't even see that as an avenue. Again, I don't see how people could leave their pets behind. But at the very least, if you're going to do that, if you're going to abandon your animal, a part of your family, then make sure that it gets inside and that it's got plenty of food and water to be able to sustain it until hopefully that animal can be rescued. So leave an animal outside, chained to a tree, chained to a car, chained to their doghouse, chained to a telephone pole, is absolutely the worst form of animal cruelty that I can imagine. Imagine if that were you outside, chained to a pole, and floodwaters were rising. How would you feel? I can't even imagine that. It's sickening to me. But, you know, trying to come at this from a non-judgmental point of view and from the point of view of how people must feel when they're desperate and they're leaving areas, I don't condone it. But if, again, you're forced for whatever reason to leave your pet behind, please get it inside, get it to safety, and make sure that there's plenty of food and water available, and get to it as soon as you can. I just, again, I can't fathom it. I don't condone it, but don't leave your pets outside. You know, bring them someplace safe. Even if you're going someplace where you don't think your pet would be welcome, get it to a family member, get it to a neighbor. Would you abandon your own child? These are living God's creatures. They don't deserve that kind of treatment. These are animals that have been loyal to you, that have been family pets. How could you do that? You know, how could you do that? I get sick to my stomach thinking about it. But please, get them at least inside. It's the least you can do. So, going forward, I wanted to be able to share, as I said, some of these stories with you and give you some viable options in order to be able to send your donations. People that will make sure that your donations and the stuff that you send will get to people that actually need them. Harvey has been so devastational to Texas and to surrounding areas, and these hurricanes that are coming. I want you to know that my prayers go out to all of you in the areas that have been afflicted, and the ones in Hurricane Irma's path, and then the subsequent hurricane that's coming behind it. Please know that I'm praying for all of you. I'm hoping for everyone's safety. I'm hoping for everyone and praying for everyone to be able to find shelter, to find food, to find clothing. And I applaud the efforts of those of you that are there in the field that are working so hard on a volunteer basis to be able to help fellow community members, other family members, total strangers. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you're doing. And please, if you have any other donation sites that you'd like to share that are reputable, get in touch with me at maggie_hart@outlook.com. And I will be doing another live interview on Thursday through Brothers at Arms, which will be a two-hour interview, at which time I hope to be able to share more information with you and possibly bring forward people who have shared these stories, or at least one of these people that has shared these stories with me and with us, and also hopefully be able to maybe tape or bring on live some of the people that have been directly afflicted by these storms so that they can share their stories with you and how the local relief efforts possibly have helped them and how they're helping others. So That's all for this evening. Thank you so much for listening. God bless you all. And again, my thoughts and prayers go with you all. Please take warning. Please take heed. Do not send any money to the Red Cross. Use the sites that I've given you, or get in contact with somebody in the area that you may know that maybe has an organization that you can send to. I also know of a lot of people that are working individually in Texas that are taking in donations and distributing them on a community level, just person to person. They're networking, they're finding people in need in their local communities, and so they're driving supplies back and forth to people that they hear of. Thank you so much for all of the people that are opening up your hearts and your homes to these people that are struggling, that are allowing strangers, virtual strangers, into your home, that you're making space in your very personal space for these people who have nothing. And I ask that all of you, you know, as we go about our daily lives, here we are in central New York or in Pennsylvania or New Jersey, areas that aren't in the anticipated path of these hurricanes, please do whatever you can to help the people that are in need right now. Because honestly, you never know when we're going to be in the path of a natural disaster, or we're going to need help, or our immediate families. And that's what it's all about. You know, it's about helping each other. Just because it doesn't directly affect us doesn't mean it doesn't affect us as a whole. We're all a ripple in a pond. The little bit, you know, a dollar, a package of toothbrushes, some toilet paper, an old used blanket, anything that you can afford to donate, please donate and give to those that are in need. Because you never know. One day it may be you that needs something, and you'll be reliant on the generosity of other communities, of your neighbors. That being said, thanks again all. God bless, and I hope to talk to you all soon. For the end of the show, I'm going to play the entire song NOLA Blues by Pat Carr, whose music you heard at the beginning of this show. Pat's a good buddy and was kind enough to let me use his music for all four of my shows. He's a great musician. Check out his stuff. Please listen to the whole song in its entirety tonight. We're going to use that as a closer for something different. Get a hold of him at cartoons@pwcarmusic.com. Check him out on SoundClick. Here's a little Pat Carr for you, NOLA Blues. Thank you. Good night.